trying to put together some things this afternoon that I might present this evening. It seemed like my mind was directed to one key statement, and that is the word crossroad, and also another key statement, and that is a day of decision. It seems like in life that every day is a day of decision in our lives. And I want to dwell somewhat upon that this night. And also, as we enter a new year, it is a time for us each day to make a decision for the Lord and the way we should walk and what we should do with our life. And I would like to present some things this evening that might be able to make us more effective in our walk of life, in our outreach to those about us. And I'd like to read some of the words of King Benjamin at this time. It's found on page 220 in the Book of Mormon, verses 16 and 17. And this is a statement that carries a lot of impact. And I would like to start reading a little bit into the paragraph. Believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Number one thing that we found listed here, and that is, believe that you must repent of your sins. And number two is not only believing that you must do it, but to forsake them and then humble yourselves before God. And I want you to take these different points as I bring them out and kind of analyze them. And a bit later, I hope to tie them together with some other thoughts. And then it says, if you believe these things, see that you do them. Let's go a little further over in this same chapter to the 21st verse. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily. Now, this is again a decision that we need to make and a decision we need to follow. Standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken of by the mouth of the angel. And we find in this reading, if we read earlier in this same book of Mosiah, we would find that an angel actually appeared to King Benjamin here and gave him certain words to speak. And that which is to come concerned the coming of Jesus Christ and the impact it would have on the children of men, wherever they are and whosoever they are. But the thing is, it still entails the first statement he said here, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, because this goes with it too. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God. And we find over in the book of Moroni, speaking about this love of God, and in there more specifically, it was charity, which was the pure love of Christ. And man was admonished to pray with all the energy of heart that he might be filled with that love. And here it says, and filled with the love of God, which is a little different than the love of Christ, and always retain a remission of your sins. So if we follow such a life as that, we could retain a remission of our sins. And you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of Him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And you will not have... Well, let's just pause there a minute. It says first that we would grow in the knowledge of Him that created us, and in the knowledge of that which is just and true. Because a little later in this, truth will be one of the things I want to touch upon. And we need to grow in that which is just and true. And then in verse 24 it says, and ye will not have a mind to injure one another. We're to be kind and considerate one toward another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his due. I would like to turn over a little further. There's so much I could read here tonight, and as I sit down this afternoon to outline a certain course of presentation tonight, it seemed like for a few moments that I would decide to follow another course. And then it seemed like things kind of fell into line, and I was able to maybe outline that which I thought had been placed upon my heart to present. And it might have took me a bit longer than I thought, but I was intent on outlining these things tonight, which I believe is for the benefit of each one of us. And I would like to turn a little further over in this one to the 48th verse. And I would invite you all to read the parts in between that I haven't presented, because there is so much here that I couldn't begin to touch upon all of it tonight. And he taught the importance of a way of life to follow. He also spoke very firmly against sin. And so with that thought, let's read verse 48. And finally, I cannot tell you all the ways whereby ye may commit sin, for there are divers ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. And he was well aware that there were so many varied ways that man could sin or err that he could not even begin to number them. And he listed many here, but he had probably only really touched upon them. And he was well aware of that. And they vary. I mean, we might preach to a certain people one place, and another place there might be other sins that these other people didn't even have. But I would want you to notice verse 49. And oft times my mind is directed to this particular verse, and I find that others is as well. And he felt directed, though, to especially stress this. And I believe this is part of our reasonable responsibility tonight and a part of each one of our decisions. And especially this unfolding a new year. And it seems like, as is already brought out in one of the testimonies today, that people quite often on New Year's Eve resolve to do certain things for the new year. And it doesn't take long into the new year, maybe some minutes, maybe some a matter of hours or days, before many of these maybe goodly intentions have fell by the wayside. And I suspect if we would look to each one of our individual lives, that we have had intentions of doing certain things during a certain year, and have likewise have saw them fall by the wayside. And we really fail to a degree to do all that we intended to do. But I really hope, in light of the time that we live, in light of what is taking place upon the face and breadth of our earth, a time of uncertainty, a time of distress, a time when the elements are being unfolded by the power of God, and even from the heavens there is coming change of things, including our weather, which is not following a normal pattern, but is certainly not normal with all the records that have been kept for hundreds of years. And we find in weather records that sometimes one in a decade is an extreme year. But if you read the one article, it said in the last decade there had been three colder than normal and three hotter than normal and four more that weren't really normal. So there is nothing that follows a like pattern. And in past decades, we find that a lot of times if you'd had an extreme of one hot and one cold, that was a normal pattern. So things have changed. And many other things have changed along with it. So we do live in a time that we need to carefully consider the written word and the scriptures and apply them more carefully to our individual lives. So with that thought, Let's read 49. But this much I can tell you, as King Benjamin taught of old, and I can tell you this day the same words, that if you do not watch yourselves, and I want you to note the way this is specifically written, and your thoughts and your words and your deeds. Now, not one time did it mention they're watching what the other person is doing. Not one time. And all you have to do is turn over to Isaiah, the 58th chapter. And it is a chapter, if you remember, on manner of fast. And one of them was, if you take away from the midst of you the pointing of the finger. And I believe that ties in very well with this particular reading here and statement of King Benjamin. Because he didn't say going around and condemning the other person for what they're doing is causing the problems of the world. He says to watch yourself. Each one watch their own self. And I want to stress that tonight, because right here, we're each a product of what we think. Now, I found that in my life, and a lot of times it's to my own dismay, that I literally, by my thoughts, can control the type of a person I am that day. I can think a few thoughts that maybe not are the best of thoughts, and they change my whole pattern of thinking. Now, that's what I feel, a weakness within myself that I personally need to work upon more carefully this year. And King Benjamin thought it important enough to admonish those people of old, each one of them, to watch their thoughts. And also it says, watch yourselves. Watch what you're doing. How you talk. Watch your deeds, it says here. And your words. And with their own mouth, many times, maybe inadvertently, and maybe on purpose sometimes, we have hurt others. So how carefully we must watch what we say. And if we would start practicing that, carefully considering what we say before we said it, we could really change the type of person we are individually. And I hope we might make a decision this year to put these things more firmly in action in our lives. And then, he went on to say, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord. And they prophesied here of a day wherein Jesus Christ would come into the world, wherein he would affect the lives of mankind. And we know that Jesus Christ has affected more lives than any other person that ever lived on the face of this earth. And it was prophesied such of the things he would do and the marvelous things he would accomplish. And that which he would suffer, even unto death, he would suffer pain more than any of us would ever suffer. And yet sometimes we become impatient in our pain, in our trials, in our troubles of life. And there is no one of us that don't have them in here. And like was brought out in, I believe, one testimony today, it seems like some have more troubles than others. And it does, really, from an outward appearance. And sometimes I believe some do have more troubles than others. But sometimes we really don't know all the troubles that some may be going through. Maybe from an outward appearance they may not be having many. But really, if you really knew the true turmoil in their being, you would see that maybe they were more troubled than you even thought. And so it is with this, that we have to continue in the faith of Jesus Christ. And then we have to, it says, even unto the end of your lives, you must perish. And now remember, and now, O man, remember, and perish not. So these are rather firm and they're rather plain words. And I believe they should be plain enough that they're plain to the understanding of any one of us in here. I would like to turn now to the book of Colossians. Many of these are not any ways near new scriptures to any of us. They're commonly used in the third chapter in verses 1 and 2. And again, a responsibility for each one of us. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which were above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And how important it is that we follow this, and we follow it closely. Now, if you've noted this closely this night, it tells us where we're to place our priorities, and that is with Jesus Christ. We're not to set our affection on the earthly, but on the heavenly. And man has spent, for the more part, all too often, most of his life, preparing for the earthly walk of life. And yet it is only for a few moments in eternity. And as I've mentioned before, I can't fathom eternity tonight, and neither am I going to try to explain it. It's beyond my ability. But yet in all this, it is only a little moment in eternity, and so it is well we utilize it to the utmost in this life. Before I turn to another, I want to use one verse out of the parable of the sower. And tonight I could have used a lot out of the parable of the sower. It was used in a sermon two or three Sundays ago. But I only want to read one verse from Mark 4, 18 and 19. Because it ties with this statement on setting your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And this showed of a certain one who went forth to sow, and some seeds fell by the wayside, some fell on the rocks, and some among the thorns, and some in good soil. And the only part we're really going to be interested in right now is that which fell among the thorns. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And I want you to notice that. It says they hear the word. And there are other scriptures here, and other ones of this parable of the sower in Matthew and Luke 2 indicate that they really received it with joy. It did a valuable thing to their life. But just because you receive it, just because you follow it for a period of time, does not mean you always have to. And this is what happened in this case. Their priorities came more to the earthly instead of the spiritually. And so it says, and the cares of this world, and that is one thing that is affecting every one of us. It is affecting every person upon the face and breadth of this earth, some more than others. Number 2 it listed here, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, whatever it may be. Man can lust after all kind of things, immoral things. He can lust after wealth. He can lust after possessions. And I could go on and on. But because of these things happening as they did, they choked the word, and it becometh unfruitful. That same beautiful word that could have led them to the tree of life, causing them to be able to partake of the love of God to its fullest. But yet, because of these things, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, it choked that word. I would like to turn to 1 Peter. And this is found in chapter 5 and verses 6 through 9. We brought out in the earlier reading of King Benjamin the necessity of humility. And Peter of old stressed upon humility. He said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that is a decision that we should make in our lives. And really come down in the depths of humility and serve God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So we cast our cares on him because he cares for us. Be sober. Be vigilant. In other words, we're to be alert, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. And we have already brought out some about that faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So how important is it that we follow this wise counsel? Here it indicates that we're going to have to resist the devil. And also to be steadfast in the faith. And that is the way it has to be done. Resisting the devil, steadfast in the faith. I would like to now read or go over a particular vision that Brother Hausnick had called the Crossroad. And I thought it well that I might touch upon this tonight, because I think this is another part of the decisions that we need to make. And this was, it says, a vision given to Apostle D.W. Hausnick, February 2nd, 1980. A few years ago, I brought this to your attention, but I feel it important to bring it again to your attention. During the recent Phoenix, Arizona reunion, Brother Hausnick spoke upon this particular vision and some other things related to it, and gave some challenges and things we should do. The ministry the next day, who were gathered there, met after the sacrament service during the afternoon and went over this particular vision to some extent, and wondered how we as a ministry and we as a people of this church might become more effective in serving the Lord, how our outreach might become more effective. And one way that was brought up is through fasting and prayer. That was one thing that was stressed. How we might be able to solve or arrive at a certain decision on many of these things that seem like for the time being are undecided upon. Now, this particular vision had a crossroads, and I would like to have enough or had it upon the on a blackboard here so I could have showed everybody and went over it with you. But I will try to picture it for each one again, for those of you that may have forgotten what it was like, or those of you who may not even known what it was like. And it actually has a crossroad, and we know what a crossroad is. You can go four directions at a crossroad. And this had north, south, east, and west on it. But really, we find out the four directions didn't mean all that much, according to Brother Hausnick. But a crossroad does have four directions you can go. You can go any way from that four directions. And in this particular vision, he said the first word he saw was the word crossroad at this intersection of the crossroad. And the next word, and these all appeared in this order, and the next word that appeared was the word indecision, and then the word fear, and then the word confusion, and then the word mistrust. Now, about this particular crossroad, to the north, there were some very dark clouds, and they were underlaid in red. Now, according to some thoughts of Brother Hausnick and others, this indicated spiritual warfare, more specifically. It said red is war clouds which are greater in the north. That also tied in with it. And to the east were some other clouds, but they were gray, black, underlaid in red, not quite as dark or quite as serious. And to the southeast was gray, black clouds underlaid in pink. And a statement was made there while we were gathered together that this was political unrest. And so there's a lot of things involved in this, and I won't attempt to explain it all tonight. To the west was a large body of water, which more recently Brother Hausnick said he had had spiritual direction that this meant troubled water. It could be teachings, doctrines, it could be problems, it could be a lot of things. And he was currently in the process of writing down some of the things that he believed what this involved, and I don't have a copy of them. Anyway, we find in this condition of crossroad, indecision, fear, confusion, and mistrust, it says here there were many people milling around in this type of a condition. And we note a little footnote said here it was given to him to understand that these people were the Church of Christ that were milling around in this type of a condition. But he also said that it involved others than the Church of Christ. So I feel that probably it involves the peoples of the world more or less in such a condition as this. It says, people at the crossroad were dressed in off-color white and white. And one of the thoughts voiced here, off-color white, was the doctrines of men, or it could be various sins. And it showed in this particular vision that there were some going into this condition of indecision and fear and confusion and mistrust, and that there were a lot that there was a lot milling around in this condition, and then there was a lot that went northward into this spiritual warfare or this time of spiritual uncertainty. We're traveling into this place of darkness that I want to maybe stress a little bit later. Some started east, it said, and turned around. And the thought was voiced that these could have been meant to have went to some of the places where there were pleas for missionary activity, but it was not carried out, like maybe India or Australia or Israel or some other places such as this. And it said some of the men had a signet on their foreheads, of which some were sitting down in this same crossroad condition. This signet indicated ministry. Some sitting down indicated that there were some ministry that weren't using their ministry, that they were not fully fulfilling that which they were called to accomplish. We find over in this one direction of some heading towards this condition of this crossroad, there were several people, and one among them was taller than the other. And this person, too, had a signet in his forehead. And the thought was voiced here that this was not necessarily a person that was tall in stature, but it was one who was tall spiritually and one who would have a great influence upon people. And because it showed coming from the south, it was further voiced here that this does not necessarily mean it has to be south that this person would come from. Well, anyway, I've brought out a few of these things tonight, and I felt it's something that I wanted to stress upon. And then I wrote down earlier today, I had a dictionary there, and I took these four words, indecision, fear, confusion, and mistrust, and I copied down some definitions, and I want you to listen to these definitions. Indecision, wavering between two or more possible courses of action. In other words, inability to make a decision. That's been a common frailty of man for years. But here, according to this vision, this is the place where we find the Church of Christ today. Not being able to make a certain decision. And then the word fear, an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. That's one definition. And I like these synonyms maybe better. Dread is one of the meanings of fear, fright, alarm, panic, or terror. And there were others listed there. Confusion, state of being confused. If I left it there, you'd probably be confused. So I had to look up confuse. The word confuse, one meaning, an archaic meaning, means to bring to ruin. So confusion could bring to a ruin. And then another meaning that I feel really fits today, and the word is perplexed. In other words, uncertainty. And that is a thing that is tearing down the whole world today, is perplexion. And then to make indistinct is confusion or jumbled. And then the word mistrust, I copied down a noun definition and a verb transitive and a verb intransitive, because they all have a little different meaning, but I thought it important. A noun of mistrust is a lack of confidence. And listen to these closely. Distrust. A synonym, it says, see uncertainty. That goes with it. But a lack of confidence is the noun meaning of mistrust, or the word distrust. And then a transitive verb is to have no trust or confidence in, or to suspect. And another meaning that I never really realized would come under mistrust, but this is a little different type of meaning. It says to doubt the truth, validity, or effectiveness of. Now that might need a little explanation. In other words, here's a thing that is truthful, valid, or effective. But there would be those who would doubt the truth of this truthful thing, who would doubt the validity of this valid thing, or doubt the effectiveness of this effective thing. Now that is also mistrust. An intransitive verb is to be suspicious. Now one of the things the ministry in Phoenix thought that certainly we could work on was the thing called mistrust. But I believe that we perhaps need to work on each and every one of them, because they are important. I would like to turn over to Luke 21. A little thought, though, I copied down here is this. And that is, we find that not only are these affecting those of the Church of Christ, but the whole world. These four things that I brought out here, it's not alone those that's in that atmosphere that it pointed up, where the Church of Christ milling around there, but he said he also saw others there. And I believe this is the position we find the whole world in today. And I've chosen this one oft-used passage of Scripture from Luke 21, and it's found in verses 25 and 26. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Jesus Christ looked down through unborn time and saw the day in which we live in, and the day that yet lies ahead. And he said there would be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations. And certainly there is great distress of nations today. There is distrust among nations. There is mistrust, whatever you want to word it. And it is becoming greater. In fact, it is almost to the point where a good part of the world is united against the United States in their distrust of us. And a lot of this is even through false teachings and happenings by predominant powers of evil today that are having much effect upon the thinking of the peoples of this world. And it also says distress of nations with perplexity. And the word perplexity is bewilderment, is one meaning of it. It's perplexed, and perplexed is filled with uncertainty. And certain, it is as certain as I'm standing here, if there's ever a day of uncertainty, it is today. And yet in all this, we have the course perfectly outlined for each one of us on what we should do. As King Benjamin said, watch what we do. Believe in God. Humble yourselves. And if you believe this, see that you do it. It's outlined so simply that I couldn't improve upon it if I stayed here all night. The sea and the waves roaring. The sea is changing. That little current off the Pacific Ocean that we hear so much talk about. A few degrees of warming has caused much of the moisture that we're getting now. It has affected the whole ocean and the whole pattern of our weather pattern. And as I was in Oregon or Washington, I read of the predicament that the fishermen were in out there. There was dozens of them that were going bankrupt. Why? Because of that current that had caused the fish to starve because they didn't have enough food. And so they were small fish. And the fishermen were going broke, selling huge fishing boats for a fraction of what they cost them. All because of this. Yes, this current, I believe it's called a Dino, I could slip me for a minute. But anyway, that current has affected the lives of more people than we may ever know. It has affected us with weather that has broken all records. Some that, as long as weather records existed, and certainly the records of this century, while Europe has basked in warmer than normal temperatures. So there is signs in the heavens above. Yes, we need to watch these closely. And verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear. And that was one of the things at the crossroads. And perhaps this is catching us to a degree. Not only doctrines that may be affecting us, but the pattern of life that we're a part of and the things about us that's taking place. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. And as one little kid wrote, President Reagan, I was about to go back a long time ago. I'm slipping tonight. Anyway, from this area, telling him to get rid of all this nuclear things because says, I want to grow up. Says, I don't want to be killed down the road a little ways. He was fearful of what was going to happen. And certainly today, the great push to do away with all the nuclear warfare is because of fear of what it might do. Little realizing those who are so fearful of it that the one great nation today under communism would not be about to get rid of their armament. It would just be us who would agree to such things through pressures of peoples. And the pressures are mounting. They're mounting in Europe. They're afraid. And yet the answer is in the scriptures. The written word is there. Jesus Christ said, come unto me. I am the way. He is the way, the truth, and the light, and the life of life. There isn't no other way. And so we must follow Jesus Christ. That which the angel spoke to King Benjamin concerning that man who would outline a way of life that could better men's lives. And yet man has not availed himself all too often of that. But those who have had joy. Even though they suffer adversity, have had joy, even though they have trouble. Paul glorified in tribulation that it worked patience in him. Yes, Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows, yet he wept with joy. So it can be that way. It is ours. All we have to do is reach out. It is there for us. But we must be careful that the cares of this world does not take away from. We find Nephi giving some wise counsel of old in 2 Nephi 14:4, and I won't turn to it. I copied down most of the statement. He said, "Feast upon the words of Christ, for the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do." There is a firm, straightforward statement. A challenge to each one of you this new year to make that decision to feast more fully upon the words of Christ, for they'll tell you all things what you should do. It don't matter what it is. And all over in that same chapter it says, before you accomplish anything unto the Lord, you first pray to the Father in the name of Christ, in the name of Christ, that He might consecrate your performance for your soul well-being or your soul welfare. And that's what it's all about tonight. I'd like to turn to Romans 8 chapter, the first 6 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is the clue. To not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so there an alternative. Carnally minded is death. Spiritually minded is life and peace. Eternal life and peace. So really we have a lot outlined here of importance. And in this time of confusion, we brought some out. I would like to turn over to a statement in James, the 3rd chapter. And this is found in verse 13. Through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is he? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So your conversation should be one of a goodly conversation and his works with meekness of wisdom. But note this here. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where, and note this 16th verse, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And so you go back to confusion, state of being confused or perplexed, or uncertain. And it says where envying and strife is, and that is torn down nations, that is torn down people from the beginning of the world. We need to take heed to what is happening to bygone nations and listen carefully, because if there arise strife or envy, and again, envy is one of the great things I guess man really has to work on, that he must not envy. Because it says, where that is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is falsely assuming to be virtuous or religious. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And Jesus Christ came that there might be peace. But he didn't say there has to be peace. It's up to man what he wants to receive. In the way of mistrust, I would like to turn over to the book of Ephesians. This is found in the 6th chapter.